This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're at, in the U.S. or somewhere around the world. Most important thing, I hope you're all healthy and safe. That's the most important thing nowadays. Remember, we always talk about it on the show. Health is number one. You know, do your jogging. Drink plenty of water, right? Get your sleep, vitamins, exercise, vitamin D, do all that stuff. This is a great time to, if you do it slowly, a little bit at a time, you know, if you're interested in losing weight, you'll do that. If you try to do it all at once, it's not going to help you. But the most important thing is to have a great, strong immune system. So, folks, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. We got another great show for you. Before we start, just a couple announcements. That is, don't forget, do me a favor. We're live on Facebook. If you got any questions, go ahead and put it in the comments section. If you're on YouTube, you can check it out there. If you want to go to YouTube later, go to Peter Caliendo on YouTube. And then don't forget, the audio goes on baseballoutsidethebox.com. Do us a favor, just subscribe to the show. And if you really like the shows, just do us another favor and just get them out to people that you know. The more you get them out, the more we got a better chance of reaching more people when it comes to baseball development. Well, here we are. We're going to bring you, this is exciting. I'll tell you why, because one, it's the San Diego Padres. Two, it's what? It's an exciting ball club. And three, they've got a guy who's going to sign for over $300 million. I think he's one of the most exciting guys on the planet right now. And that's Mr. Tatis Jr. We're going to talk about him. But the man that's been with the Padres for 5 years, he's got a long career when it comes to playing. He's played at all levels, played in Mexico, played independent ball. He's got like 14 plus years just as a player. So, you know, as a player, you're going to learn a lot by being around good coaches. The double-A hitting coach for 3 years, he would have been fourth, but it was because of the pandemic. They didn't have the minors. Let me welcome. This is going to be exciting. We're going to have a lot of fun with him. We're going to talk some hitting and some other things. Raul Padron. Raul, what's up, buddy?
Peter, how you doing, man? Thank you for having me. This is amazing. I'm super excited to be here with you.
Yeah, I wonder if I do this right. Raul, mucho gusto, no? Mucho gusto que está sulla mia televisione ahora.
You got that right, mucho gusto.
I'm trying a little bit. But listen, buddy, you know, I want to start with your career because, you know, 14 years playing pro ball, I mean, at different levels, all the coaches gone through, talk about a learning process. I know you want to, you know, your goal, you know, you love baseball. By the way, coming from Venezuela, one of the best countries when it comes to baseball in the world, some of the finest people in the world too. I'm lucky I get a chance to travel the world, and I love Venezuela. Let me ask you, so from all that years that you played, you had all these coaches, what was the one or two big things that you learned from these guys or gals, whether it be hitting or whether it be just coaching in general? You know, after all those years, you figured it out,
right?
What they helped you with.
Yeah, I think number one, Peter, is respect. I think that's one of the biggest things that I learned, you know, during my whole career, you know, all those years, you know, I think that was number one thing for me, you know, the respect, you know, and the other one is how to create a great relationship with every coach, you know, with every teammate that you have. You know, being able to help your teammates. I learned a lot from that, you know, like, you know, when first time my coach says like, hey man, your best coach is going to be your teammate. It was a little weird for me, you know, like, yeah. It's like, what, you know, like, what are you trying to say? You know, it took me a couple of years to figure that out, but he was right. He was totally right. You know, the reason why is just because your teammate's watching you every single pitch, every single at bat, you know, like, your coach is watching too, but he only had two eyes, you know, and he's not able to, you know, he got to go first to 13 hitters, you know, maybe if he has 14, you know, it's going to be tough for him to say something. He might forget something about that night or whatever, you know, a little detail, which is like your teammate is going to keep, you know, if you have good relationship with them, they won't forget. They will tell you right away, like, hey man, I'm seeing this. You should make that little adjustment.
Yeah. You know what? I can see that because, you know, that, you know, they've got, and it's interesting because it's pretty competitive in the minors, but yet guys still help each other, right? I mean, because you are teammates.
Yes, no doubt. I mean, you know, that we're competing against each other, you know, but at the end of the day, we're friends, you know, like we all want to get to the one goal is playing the big leagues, but at the same time, we got to play together. We got to stay as a unit, as a family, you know, we got to grow together. I think that's the best way to put it, you know, as a team, because sometimes like competing can sound like a little weird. Yeah, competing against you. Yeah, I am, but in a good way. You know, I'm going to help you to success and you're going to help me to success. So, you know, it's a good way to be competing against each other.
Absolutely. What about your coaches? What's one thing that possibly a coach told you when, as a hitter, you know, and it could have been at any time in your career, that one thing that stuck in your mind, one, made you better, but two, you use a lot now?
Well, one of the biggest thing, one, I gotta mention his name. His name is, he's actually the hitting coach with the Oakland A's right now, Darren Bush. Mm-hmm. Darren Bush helped me a lot through my career. You know, I have the opportunity to be his player for a couple of years. First, he was a hitting coach. Then he became a manager. And high A, that was in Stockton back then. And then double A was in Midland here in the Texas League. You know, one of the biggest things he mentioned to me, it's like, I always tell this to my hitters. It was kind of funny because he just say, like, are you seeing the ball?
You're thinking, is this crazy, right? I mean, of course, but that's a great question, really, if you think about it.
It is. It is amazing because I was like, what? Yeah, you're seeing the ball? Oh, yes, I guess. You know, I was like, I guess I'm seeing the ball. You know, but okay. So then he can explain to me a little bit, like, okay, let's see. Go out there get on the bus and try to watch one pitch from the pitcher hands to the end of the play. You know, like when the catcher catches, don't swing at it. Even if it's caught shock, you can drive that ball. Just take it. Just take it for a try. Let's see what happened. Then you tell me your feedback after that at bat. Doesn't matter what happened, okay? So I went to the bus because I was having a kind of hard time. That was in high A, you know, I was struggling a little bit. And it wasn't really much going on. But, you know, when he mentioned that to me, he told me, like, try to do this. And so I went to the bus, you know, okay, let me take one pitch, you know. But I'm going to take it like I'm going to swing that pitch.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be just a regular take when I'm going to put my bat on my shoulders and just wait for it, you know. So, you know, I took that pitch. You know, when that guy was in his release point, whatever, I take a look at the ball through the glove of the catcher. I was like, oh my God, I really see that ball. Like, you know, I was like, I almost, I can see, you know, the almost the letters. I saw something blue, you know, I was like, okay. So next pitch, he threw me a changeup because they were killing me with the changeup. So that was gonna, you know, I was tired of it. So I took that change. I said, oh, my God, I really saw that change coming. You know, I wasn't taking that at that time. You know, after I got one strike, cock shot, fine. Next pitch, you know, soon that I know, another change. He hang it, I hit a double. You know, and then you see my smile, second base, because he was at third base. He was the manager at that time. He was smiling at me. He was like, you see the ball? Yeah, so that was one of the biggest – thing that a coach, you know, told me about my hitting time at that moment, you know, that was huge. And go ahead if you want to.
Well, I was going to say, and you know, for our young coaches just starting, mm-hmm. let's say, or you know, the shows, thank goodness, we've got over 100 countries, people listening from 100 countries to the podcast. You know, if you're a parent or you're a coach, folks, remember, there's a difference between saying to a young player, watch the baseball, because that's what they're trying to do. But you know, what Raul just said, he said, are you seeing the ball? That's a big difference.
It's huge.
Here's what I'm going to ask you, Raul, because when you say, are you seeing the ball? If when you were struggling not seeing the ball, what did you focus on? That you had to go back to something, or how did you, you know, what was your main focus point?
Yeah, when I wasn't seeing the ball, you know, I was just like, okay, reading his, getting the timing from himself, you know, like when he was starting to go, you know, releasing his hands from his glove, I was just seeing his body. You know, I wasn't paying attention to the baseball.
Yeah.
That was different, you know, that's from that point on my career, I was totally a different hitter, you know, because I finally start seeing the ball, you know, like, okay, where's the ball at? You know, because the pitcher's trying to hide the ball the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, they get the ball in the glove and they try to hide it right behind it. But if you stay focused on see the ball, you know, it's going to be a little white thing over there. Then it's going to be different because you will know, like, okay, the ball's coming now. I'm getting ready, you know? So I was like, I was completely out of timing, you know? And I think that's one of the biggest thing for timing, you know, the biggest thing for any hit is timing, you know, besides all the techniques and all that stuff, approach, plan. But the timing is one of the hardest ones to get, you know, to get set through the season. So
yeah. Talk about that since you hit on timing, because I'm also going to go back and talk about relationships in a little bit, but timing, because since you're on that, you know, everybody throws different speeds. You don't know what they're throwing at that time. So how does the timing mechanism work for you in your body? Now you said it perfectly. See, if you're watching the ball real well, that should help a great deal, obviously, because then the brain can compute a lot of things. But when do I get started? What does that mean, you know, and all that?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, hitters, you know, older hitters who experience, they will have some key, you know, when to start, when you're going to start, when you see that ball coming. But for a young hitter, you know, it's a little different, you know, that, like I say, they normally start with the pitches moving or when they finally find the ball kind of on halfway, you know, where like they won't have any chance to hit the ball. But, you know, like the way we're trying to teach our guys, you know, the younger guys, especially, it's like, it's always like try to get ready for the fastball, you know, like, but that won't be only the only thing that we're going to say, you know, to be able to do that. We always go like, okay, let's work on your lower half. You know, how's your lower half doing? Why we talk about that? I mean, I love lower half on hitters. Why is that? Because first of all, you're going to be able to recognize pitches, you know, your head's not going to move, you know, like normally do with younger hitters. They like, they want to move all their body to maybe create power or bat speed or whatever, which is not right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more balance you have, the easier it's going to be for you to see the ball. You know, that's one of the biggest thing for me. You know, I try always to keep them super tight, you know, and on down and the lower half, just to like, you know, I try to untie them pretty much when I'm working with them, like they don't feel free at all, you know, especially from that lower half. I just trying to keep everything together, you know, everything connected, you know, that's why they call it these days, you know, a good connection. So back to the timing, you know, it's like, depends, because in these days you have some pitchers that they throw whatever, you know, they might go to the winder, like this Dominican guy, oh, forgot his name, he's a big leaguer,
some paws, you know, do a double paws.
Yeah, double paws, double leg key, you know, things like that. They all do that and like kind of quick pitch and
trying to mess up your timing, right?
Yes, they're trying to mess up your timing because they know sooner you lost that, they're in ahead, you know, they're in advance in that game, you know. That's what they're trying to do. But that's why always, you know, you got to, as a hitter, you always have to find a key, you know, like maybe you're going to start when that leg key is coming down, you know, when the guy's from the windup or from the stretch, it's a little different, you know, he might can do a little quick step, I mean, slide step, so you can go with the hands. You know, I think for me, the hands is a huge one. You know, and that when he start here, then you can have plenty of time to start your timing. Might be you might be too early, but it's okay. You always want to be early. It's better than being late, you know, like, because you're going to be able to adjust, okay, I was too early with this. Let me wait a little longer. Maybe when he's starting to release the ball, so I'm going to start. All depends, you know, what type of approach a hitter have. You know, maybe if you have a big, huge leg key, he better start early, you know, like from right here. It might be, you know, quick step hitter. So he will have some plenty time. It all depends on the hitter, you know, like we will see, you know, like I say, maybe a long leg key or short leg key or toe tap, you know, things like that.
And talk about, because, you know, the body's got to move, right? So if once the pitcher starts, the hitter's body has to do something. And it also, everybody's a little different, so they didn't all do it the same. You mentioned all the different toe taps and everything. Mm-hmm. How about the weight of the body? What does that do?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like you got to keep your weight in between your legs. That's the best way to go, you know, because sometimes you see some hitters, they lie like a rocking chair, you know. They go back and then they go forward. So you don't want to do that because many things are going to happen. You know, you're going to drop the barrel. You're going to slow down your swing. You're going to lose your posture. You know, as many things that are going to come together, and you won't have the power that you should have because you're not using that lower half the right way. So, you know, it's like pretty much it will be difficult. So for me, it's like try to keep your legs, try to keep your body, your weight between your legs. That's going to be the best way for a hitter to be able to react, you know, even if they get a little late, you know, to the fastball, whatever, they will be able to at least to foul it off, you know, and then the feeling is going to be better than, you know, being moving and having so many moving parts with your body.
Well, what about some drills? I know it's a podcast, so it's hard, but maybe it's a couple drills that you could do with young players or even older players to work on this timing, because it's going to have to also transfer in the game eventually.
Yes. I mean, the best drill for any hitter it can do for timing is tracking bullpens. Hmm. That's huge one. I mean, every time you got a chance to go to practice and, you know, some guys got a bullpen, go ahead, grab your helmet, grab your bat, and work in that timing. Because none of those guys are going to be the same. None of them.
Right.
So you can have different approaches, you know, with different guys. I mean, number one is that, you know, like for the timing, tracking, we're doing it in the big leagues. Big leaguers are doing this daily. This is not like, little guys, rookie ball. No, this is – big leaguers are doing this right now. You know, if they have a season, they go out through the bullpen every single day, you know, get that timing down. If they feel good about it, okay, they won't be there that night or whatever. But that's one of the huge drills for that.
But what about as a coach? And let's say we're going to say hitting coach, but I'm not convinced that you're really a hitting coach because No, a lot of times you're not really working on the hitting part. You're working on the mental. Yeah. It seems to be so strong. Talk about that area a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's super important. That is huge, you know, for me as a coach to show my player that I care for him, you know, on the mental side of the game. It's not only – I don't care if he doesn't get a hit that night. I mean, it doesn't matter. I play the game. I know how hard it is. Mm-hmm. And I need to let my player know about that. You know, I got to make sure that he knows that I don't care if he went 0-5 with 5Ks. You know, it doesn't matter. Tomorrow we're going to go get it again. You know, we're going to do our work and get back to the game and see what happens. So, you know, that part, I think during my career, I have to work a lot, you know, to get better. And it was like I didn't have a chance to think about like, oh, this is too hard, you know, because, you know, at my point, you know, where I have my family pretty much on my shoulders, you know, like, I was a guy that I have to go to the States and make some money and do good no matter what, you know, so that was tough because baseball, you never know if you're going to do good or not. So it was kind of tough, but, you know, I got good coaches, you know, I grew up playing with the Oakland A's. They were excellent coaches, you know. Talking about the mental part of the game, they were nice, you know, especially, you know, again, Darren Butch, he was one of the best for that. You know, he was so calm. You know, he seems like he was playing for 100 years this game, you know, to me, because he was so calm. It was like, why are you so worried? He asked me one night, what are you so worried about? What happened tonight? You know, it was like it was the end of the war that day for me. Then we start talking like, hey man, you just gotta, you know, you gotta realize that you're gonna have an opportunity tomorrow, you know, you're gonna play tomorrow again, and then you're gonna have a chance to prepare yourself before the game better than you did today, you know, maybe a better plan, maybe let's see what maybe better approach at the play, something like that. But you know, going back to that mental side of the game, it's not easy. I know it's not easy for players, you know, to be tough You know, we're trying to create tough players right now with the Padres organization. You know, we want tough players, maybe tough player at the play, but mentally it's kind of tough. It's kind of tough to make that happen. You know, I think it's a process. Yep. You know, it won't be. It's like it took me a few years, maybe 3-4 years to become a tough mental player. You know, so I believe it depends on how much information we get to that player. It will take some time. You know, it's going to be like step by step, you know, like, hey, man, whatever happened tonight, it's just part of the game. You know, it's going to happen again and again and again. You got to stay positive, you know. Even this is like people call it a game of failure, but you know, it for me is, yeah, it is a game of failure, but it's a game of opportunity. It's a game of opportunities too, because you're going to have another chance and another chance, you know. Obviously at the end, you know, if you weren't able to make it happen, you know, it's sadly, it's just going to go different ways, but it's just part of the game. So, you know, it's kind of tough, but I mean,
Go ahead.
No, yeah, I mean, I've been, yeah.
You go. You're the guest.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I have a lot of players there that have a hard time, you know, being tough mentally because they were so talented. They couldn't believe that they weren't able to success. You know, they were thinking that was impossible for them. But they, you know, they hit reality, you know, like everybody else, not even in this game, just in life. You know, when you hit reality and you sit down like, okay, this is not the way I was thinking it was going to be. Then that's when you really, as a person, you really start saying like, okay, I got to take it easy. I just got to do it again today and do it again and do it again. And that's how that process is going to grow for them.
Excellent. You know, you mentioned plan seems to be part of that process. So like, prior to a game, there's a game plan. Or prior to a series, there's a game plan you guys put together. Is it individually as hitters?
No. We try to get it as a group. But at the end of the day, it's going to be, you know, the best plan you had for you, for yourself. You know, like you will know what type of hitter you are. Obviously not at the beginning of your career. You know, when we have guys in Dominican Summer League and we got guys in the Rookie Bowl, we really don't have much information about the team we're going to face. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of hard, even in these days, we have so much.
Yeah, like high school and college almost, yeah.
Correct, yes. You know, it's just the same way. We might have a little more information than college or high school, but at the end of the day, it's not much. So that's when you really have to figure it out, how you're going to approach that guy, because let's say – you know, it's lefty today and we have no idea. He might just get signed. You know, he might get signed from the draft, from July draft, or who knows.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they're coming from college or high school, some of the guys know them, you know, like, oh, yes, I faced this guy. I know he was like, okay, slider. Then soon, you know, he got some nasty slider, you know, like, well, I guess he moved on from that, you know. So it's kind of hard, but when they start moving on, you know, it's different. You know, when they hit low A, high A, then double A, it's a whole different level. Double A, we have like kind of the same information that the big leaguers have, maybe a little less for sure. But then we try to create a plan for the team, you know, team plan, team approach. This is how we're going to attack this guy. But years when things are different, you know, like when we are the half season, at least half season through the season, the full season, that's when you know, they say here we face a lot of the Oakland A's, we face a lot of the Houston Astros. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously they're not gonna work me the same time they did last time.
Yeah.
You know, so and then you start learning from that a little bit, you know, like let's say you have a great series and you win 8-12, you know, definitely it's not going to be the same way. They're not going to pitch you the same way. But, you know, at the same time, I will have a meeting. I will have my hitters meeting, you know, maybe before BP or right after BP, you know, when they're fresh. I normally like to do it before BP because they're fresh, you know, like they relax. They're not thinking about anything, you know, and then I throw some information there for them, you know, like, hey, this guy, you know, have a high percentage slider, but he doesn't throw for strike. So they stay with the fastball, you know, let's attack this fastball and see what happens. If he got the slider that night, well, we got to make the adjustment, you know. All depends on what he has, but this is what we're going to go through that night. And, you know, hopefully he stay with that according plan that we have. If not, you know, that they know that they have to make, you know, an adjustment. But at the end of the day, the plan, the best plan for any hitter would be, you know, stick with the fastball in case, or if you're facing a different guy, slow guys, and it's another whole different history.
Sure. Now, you know, what's interesting about all this is, you know, with the young levels, I mean, without levels, you know, obviously they say, you know, hitting starts, you know, when the pitcher's warming up, you could look at him. If it's a bullpen, you could see him.
Right.
Then when he's warming up on the mound, you know, in a game during that time, you should always be watching him, trying to time him and all that. And that's all great and dandy. I think that's fantastic. I think we need kids that. But at the same time now, let's say a lot of our coaches who don't see these teams that much, sometimes does your game plan happen after the first at bat also? And what I mean by that is you might go in with your plan, say, look, fastball, obviously you don't know this guy
yet.
But let's say after the at-bat is over, now maybe you got an idea what to do next time. You know, every time you hit off this guy.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's a great point because not even a young hitter have a hard time with this. Older hitters have a hard time with this because they feel safe when you give them a plan.
Yeah.
You know, they feel better. They feel good about themselves. They get a little confidence. But soon that we have, okay, let's say we're facing Pedro Martinez tonight. Oh, Pedro Martinez not throwing tonight. Someone else from low A is coming and pitch tonight. They freak out. They freak out. You know, it's like, come on, guys. Why are you going to freak out? I mean, no, because I don't know what he has. You know, I don't know how hard he throw. Yeah, we know. I mean, that information we had here.
Yeah.
You know, we know how hard he throw, but – like you say, you know, at some points I always tell them, like, hey, okay, we don't have nothing on this guy. Who's leading off? You're going to be our plan. You're going to give your report, you know, after you're at bat. If you see one pitch, well, we won't get much. But we have three hitters, you know, the first inning. Three hitters to figure it out what we're going to do against that guy. So that was a great point because I always kind of like – it's funny for me because I told him, like, don't panic, you know, it's just another guy. We don't know that guy. That's the only difference.
You know, early on you said also you talk about relationships. You know, talk a little bit about how you build the relationship, that it takes time, but what happens if you have them for a very short time? That's not easy either.
Yeah, that's tough. The way I do it, honestly, I start in the off season. You know, even if I don't gonna have those players playing for me, you know, that year or the next year, I always start, you know, soon the year's over, we're going instructionally. I got the chance to meet a ton of players like I didn't know before. So, you know, I go to our office and get all the phone information or emails or whatever, and I start to test them, you know, when I'm back home. You know, I spend some time at least, you know, during the week I pick a day, you know, to test everybody. Hey, how you doing? This is Coach Raul Padron. How are you? They get surprised, you know, like, oh, you know, what's this guy testing me, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then that's how I try to create my relationship with them, because honestly, when we get to spring training, it's not time, Peter. It's not time for that. Yes, you know, like we move and go here, go there, and, you know, throw BP here, throw some soft up here. Let's do this real with this guy. And it's like, it's no chance to talk. You know, it's not a time to ask him, like, how's your family doing? You know, like, you got any sisters? You know, like, it's like everything is on the clock, you know? And that's how it starts. I started in the off season, so they get to know me a little bit. You know, with the players that I have before, it's a little issue because they know me already. But, you know, when I have a player coming from another league, maybe for a lower level that I never met before, that's tough, you know, because these days players, you know, are hard to make you trust, you know, or it's hard for them to trust someone. And I get it, you know, I get it. But when you play, when I play, I trust my coach no matter what.
Yeah.
But it's not like that anymore.
They got a lot of technology in their hands. A lot of, you know, they can go to church and hear different things from different people.
Yeah, they can go to Twitter. Oh, but I'm reading this, you know, and all that stuff. So that's kind of hard. So I have my experience with that. My first year as a hitting coach, you know, I have three guys that came up to high A, and I didn't know them. And it was so tough for me, you know, because it was hard to approach them. I mean, not like friendly was fine, but it's like game talk, you know, like, you know, I was trying to help them, but they, you know, they were like a little uncomfortable because it was like, I don't know if this guy is good enough, you know, like, but, and then after that year, I started, you know, asking my boss, like, hey, I need everybody's phone number, email, whatever you want to give me. I'm going to call them. I'm going to start a relationship from now. So that's how I try to build that base from to my players.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. Hey, you know, a lot of times in ball games, you hear this a lot from players. You know how players are. We're all the same way.
Yeah.
We make a couple outs, you know, and we start to think something's wrong. But when a player comes back in the dugout early on, what do they normally say to you? When they make an out and they're not happy about it, what do they ask you most of the time?
Yeah, I mean, they're all different. You know, you got some guys where they come back to dugout that they stay positive. They just kind of go like, oh, I just swing a bad pitch. They're honest to themselves. But you don't see that too often.
Yep.
You don't see that too often. You know, then you got those guys very rarely. You know, like they're honest to themselves. Yeah, I was just a little late. Huh? You know, I'll be fine this time. They asked me, like, do you agree to that? I said, yes, 100%. You got that right. Okay. Don't think about it anymore. You know, put that in the past. Yeah. Then you got the guys where they come into the dugout, you know, they put their bat down, helmet down, and they, and they go right next to me, you know, like, what do you see? What am I doing?
Right. What did I do wrong? Right.
Why did I miss that pitch? Why? I got this question before. Like, why I didn't hit that ball out of the ballpark?
Right.
I was like, what?
Wow.
You know, you get a ton of different opinions, you know, from hitters.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things for a coach that we have to teach them, you know, like, hey, man, after a bat, if you have a doubt of what happened, come ask me if you need to. Because if you know what you did wrong, you know, stay calm, you know, like, if you want to ask me, hey, you think the same way? Yes, I got you. It was just that, you know, because it's hard to make them make adjustment in the game, you know, like maybe the you know, the toughest thing that I can say is like, hey, man, just, you know, see the ball up, see it up, you know, you'll be fine. Because, and then if I start talking to them in the game, that game is over.
Done.
That game is over for them, you know. Yes, you know, like your head is going to start thinking, and then you go next at bat, same result, next at bat, same result until the next day, you know. So that's one of the hardest things for a hitter, because you're always there for them, you know. You always are going to be there for them. I always give them some love, you know, even if they give me that question, like, why I didn't hit that ball out of the ballpark. I always – you know.
Right? That's pretty confident when you say something like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, but it's like, you know, sometimes I tell them, well, you probably just, you know, we're a little under, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's easy to say, like, why didn't hit double out?
Yeah, and think about it. I think we all underestimate it. Think about, you can have great timing, a great swing, and all you got to do is miss it by a tenth of
by
a
hurt.
If you take a dime, a tenth of that, you know,
just
missed it by that much, and you're going to, you know, possibly make an out, but it doesn't mean you did anything wrong.
Yep. Totally right. But that's the thing, you know, again, with the younger hitter, they think they did everything wrong, you know, and it's like, I just try to keep them in a positive way. It's, hey, man, you're going to be fine. You got another at bat. Let's go. You might get two bases loaded. No out. Okay. So this at bat doesn't matter anymore. Okay. But, you know, and then they go to the video and say, oh, man, you were right. You know, I just missed that one for this. You know, it's like, yeah. But then that's part of that process too, you know, like that's where relationship comes back again. you know, like, because we were having a good relationship before the spring training start. And then, you know, then you will have a little time in the spring training. Then they're asking like, hey, how's your brother? How's, you know, how's Michael doing? You know, like real quick. Oh, no, he's doing good. Oh, nice. Okay, let's back to work. You know, and then right after that game, you know, whenever that happened, he's like, oh, man, you were so right. You know, and you know, I'm a dumb, you know, I, why I keep thinking this way, you know. And then from now on, after that stuff happened to the hitter, as a coach, you know, this is going to be a whole different guy for the next couple months.
Yeah.
Because that my job is done, you know, like he finally recognized and figured out like, okay, it was me. It wasn't, it was nothing wrong. Yeah. You know, and then he might don't go 10 for 10, but then he's going to pull the ball and play. You know, he's going to be more relaxed. He's going to trust himself a little more. And that's what relationship made happen. You know, like it's huge. It's something that I think is one of the biggest thing for a coach to have with the players, you know, like have feeling and build that great relationship. You know, even after the games, I go out with them, have a dinner, you know, I go with them to the gym. You know, normally coaches go to the gym separate. Sure. You know, I try to go with them, you know, I try to compete with them. Like, yeah, I'm lifting this and you cannot, you know, like things like that, you know, lead by example, right?
Yes.
You know, and I think that's been working for me, you know, and in a really good way with all our players.
I was just thinking, you know, when you were talking, you said we're building relationships, and in doing that, you get to know these guys really well. You know, have you ever, I mean, and I'm taking to the extreme just for some fun, but have you ever had a, mm-hmm. like, if a hitter comes in, you know he's doing good, okay? And, you know, he says to you, hey, coach, what did I do wrong? Get out of here. You know, I mean, just kind of, because personality-wise, he can handle it. I wouldn't do mm-hmm. that.
Yep, yep. But
sometimes you got to just let figure out ways to get him to relax, no?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 100% agree. It's another great point. Yeah, definitely. Sometimes, you know, a guy is doing great, you know, he might go for three. It's like, what am I doing wrong? It's like, get out of here. You know, you okay, you know, you're doing good. Okay. And then they start laughing. That for them is huge. You know, you give them a little joke, you know.
Have you challenged them before with anything?
Yes. We do. And we have a lot of, we're trying to practice fast. We're trying to practice like a real game. You know, and for some players, let's say for the older, not too old, it's a little hard. But for the new players, you know, now they know this is coming. So they feel okay with that. But, yeah, I mean, we honestly, I keep my arm in really good shape because I love this reel that I do with my hitters. Depending on when they like it, if they like it for early work or right after BP or before the game, you know, when we play at home, we call it road to the big leagues, you know. Right. If the game is at 7, we start road to the big leagues at 6 to 6:30, you know, whatever they need. If they need, you know, machine, arm, flips, soft top, whatever. But in this case, I love the drill where I'm the pitcher and they're going to have one at bat against me before the game, one or two at bat, real at bat. You know, like, and really throwing the ball and really spanning some pitches. And when I started doing that was like 3 years ago. It was the different on our hitters, it was totally different because the feedback from them was like, man, I was ready. First at bat, yeah. You know, you strike me out of the cage. Yeah. But guess what? I was ready in this at bat and getting my knock, you know. But that's something that we're trying to implement. I know it's not easy because, you know, I mean, we got all the coaches and we got some coaches that don't have, you know, that their arm is a little, you know, crampy, things like that. Oh, yeah. But I love that because the machine, some guys like the machine. So we have two cages. I have a machine in one cage and I have myself throwing in the other cage. It's pretty much like you will see maybe one or two guys against the machine. But the rest is going to be against me, like maybe one pitch, you know, like one pitch because they know it's 0-0 count. Okay, here we go. You know, maybe I go fastball in. They crush it. Thank you. You know, they're done. then I have two guys that they're a little struggle. They will have, you know, more than three at bats, you know, like where they feel like, okay, now I'm ready to crush you. You know, I can't be letting this happen, you know, because I go a shorter distance too. And it's not like I'm going, you know, full bullpen against them. No, it's like short distance. It's hard to react, hard to recognize the slider, hard to recognize the changeup. So it's very tough. You know, I would love to have, I mean, if I have that when I was playing, it's amazing. You know, I got to compete 20 minutes before the game, you know, when it becomes real. So I'm going with some confidence at the play. So that's one of the things that I like to do before the game.
You know, you guys have an advantage, and I love that. You have an advantage because you have video, and sometimes you have higher speed videos, maybe of different angles mm-hmm. and all that. When you start looking at, and I'm talking about during the season especially, when a player starts to struggle, that struggle could happen even at five at-bats because you may see something just doesn't look right. Or because a guy could also have 25 at-bats and still not be doing well but hitting the ball hard. When do you determine what's really the main focus and what the change is, if it's going to be mechanical, if it's going to be mental? How do you determine that, I guess? I'm trying to help the coaches out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. You know, when you have guys that are the fingers struggle, like you said, but they're hitting the ball hard, I mean, it's not really a struggle time for him. You know, it's a struggle, yes, in the mind for sure, because, you know, you've been crushing the ball. You got no luck from the baseball right now. And that point, it's tough for us to keep them in the track. You know, he might stay there by himself for 3 days, you know, depending on who he is. But after those 3 days, the 4 day, nothing good happened to him. Oh, it is about a good struggle for him, you know, like real struggle, you know. So we really have to be careful with that, you know, like we really have to stay positive with guys hitting the ball good and have no love from the baseball. You know, as a coach, you really, really have to be careful with this. You know, it's like you got to do your best to keep him out of the cage. Like, you know, early work, maybe a little, one day early work. Hey, you're doing great, man. You look good. Let's take a look at this video. See, you crush that baseball. It's nothing else you can do. It's part of the game. Okay. So keep hitting the ball right. They're going to fall. At some point, you might broke your back. Boom, base hit. That's it. You know, the slump is over. But, and then you got the other guys, you know, where they really struggle. That's like, for me, it's the easy one, you know, because not easy, but it's you know, like, okay, I'm gonna help him. He's gonna let me help him because we're gonna go to the videos. We're gonna go to see what percentage of the ball, at balls in the strike zone he's swinging or balls out of the zone. You know, that's the first thing I do with struggles hitters. Okay, so why is that? Well, because you might be thinking I struggle because I'm doing something wrong with my mechanics or my hands are not working right or I'm dropping my shoulders or whatever. But the thing is, like, you're swinging like 80% of the balls out of the strike zone.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you show them that, it is like they were like, okay, yeah. I mean, this is not like I'm a struggle. I got to swing a better pitches, you know, and then timing's coming back. Let's work in your timing. Let's do some tracking. Okay. And then one of the things that I like to do is like, don't take a look at the pitcher, tell the catcher, hey, he's coming, you know, without knowing what's coming, unless it's inside pitch. So when we do that in the bullpen, I want them to say yes or no, you know, like, I wanted to see how far they seen the ball before it gets to the plate. Yes, man, it's a good pitch. And no, it's a bad pitch. You know, and it's so tough for them, you know, and when you get those guys.
Sometimes they're almost calling it right in front of home plate, which is real late.
Which they don't got a chance.
Right.
And that's where my points come. Like, they go like, no, I was like, you're late.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it again. Yes, you're late again.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah, you're saying yes, like when the ball is on top of yourself.
Have you tried inside, outside? Because that could be weird too. Like sometimes the ball might be outside and they actually call inside.
Yes, we have, you know, like we have, because we've been doing that since, let's say, with the outside, inside, maybe 2-3 years already.
Yeah, I love
and,
that.
Yeah, it's huge, and we have a big league hitters doing that, you know. It's like outside, inside, yeah. You know, it's like, it's even better.
As soon as possible, you got to call it.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to call that like soon as possible. Even halfway, you got to know what that ball is. Yeah. So that's when they start learning how to see the ball as well, you know. Yeah, going back to my point at the beginning, like, oh my God, I'm seeing the ball right now.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, we have done many of those reels without swinging the bat.
Right.
You know, we have one cage just to see the ball. Like, see, we put numbers on the play, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then they got to call the number, and someone is the umpire right behind them. You know, we have a little table on the ground with numbers. So, and we have some of the players. Hey, you're going to be the umpire. You got to be honest to your teammate, okay? And then they go, okay, the ball's coming. It's fastball. 3, 5. The umpire is calling 5. It wasn't 3. Yeah. You know, they want more people to come see because they don't believe it.
Competitive now. It's competitive. Yeah, because guys love competition.
They love competition. They love competition. And again, you know, we try to practice fast. We're trying to add as many competition we can, you know. During the season, maybe not, but spring training, yes. During the season, sometimes, let's say double A, you got to go like show and go, you know. Yeah. You know, we won't have time to do much. But when we're home, we're trying to create at least one, let's say twice a week, a competition. Now we have so much technology, we can use the rat soto on the ground and okay, let's play the match. Etchevillo wins a gift card.
Yeah,
you know, and then they start that competition, which is nice because that fastball's coming at you like really fast, so it's good for them.
Well, we'll talk about this because you know, when we look at professional baseball, Latin players don't go in the draft, okay, in Latin America. But if the draft in the old days had 1,200 players, if you compare that to the Latin players signed, which is about 300 to 400, that's almost a third of the mm-hmm. draft. So there's a lot of great players coming to Latin America, and two of the biggest countries are Dominican and Venezuela. I bring that up because I want you to talk to our American, especially our American players, our younger players, and it can relate to anybody. Two things. One, why so many great baseball players coming out of the you know, these countries? What are they doing when they're kids that are different that we're not doing here in the States? And also related, we'll get into the hitting part. What are they doing there hitting wise? But they can't, they got to be doing more than just swinging a bat or, you know, something else.
Yeah, that's a great question, Peter. In the Latin countries, like I explained that here to the, you know, I do some lessons and all that stuff with kids here. And one of the things that Latin kids are doing is like, it's playing baseball, it's working pretty much all day long, you know. Like some of those kids don't have the money to go to school,
right?
You know, so I mean, they just hit it hard in baseball. Dominican, you know, like almost since the day they burned that they have a glove. Yeah, put that glove in your hand.
Yeah,
you know, and let's go out in the field. But you know, talking in general is different because I tell you why. You know, right now for a Latin player, their top age to sign, you know, in July draft, whatever they're doing right now, is 16 years old. You know, it's super young, you know, so that means like those kids are starting to work when barely 10, 11 years old. They're just kids. But guess what? They're starting to put in like a real work on it. You know, like I said, real work behind that, you know, like they will have a training conditioning. You know, explain to them how to run, how to move themselves, a lot of stretch daily, you know, and then they have a conditioning guy, and then they have a weight room for them where they're going to hit it. I mean, not like crazy.
This is your minor league guys in the mm-hmm. Venezuela, let's say, right?
Yeah.
What about What about your younger guys, the young kids, like when you were a kid, mm-hmm. the things you did that made you a better player? You know, there's got to be a lot of things you guys do that's not done here in the States.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know what, it's very similar. What is not similar is the day we spend on the field. We are on the field every single day.
Yeah, that's the
maybe not Sunday. But other than that, it's every
day. Not always playing games. You practice a lot, too.
No, we practice a lot. We practice a lot. You know, we have some tournaments, you know, as well. But most of the time, we're practice. You know, we have a ton of practice. You know, like, we work so hard. You know, it's like, if we don't get this done, we won't move on. Or we don't play that tournament that weekend. Yeah. Simple as that, you know. So they want to play. They want to push, you know, for them to play that tournament. So, you know, it's a little pressure behind it already. You know, for a kid, it's you know, you're pressing them to be better, so you're gonna be able to play the weekend. So it's you know, it's definitely different. You know, like that way, it's just being in the field every day. It's something else.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, here you are. Okay, you sign at 16. I know you start playing pro ball at 19. Mm-hmm. You know, you come in the States, you're used to some pretty good fields. Now in Latin America, the major league teams have good fields there, but a lot of these kids don't come from good fields prior to that. They come from all kinds of different fields. So yeah. I mean, really not that intimidated all of a sudden when you're on a real nice field. Must be too easy.
Yes. I mean, I will put myself as a sample. You know, I grew up in a field where you might hit a ground ball, that ball is going to hit me in the face first before I catch it.
Right.
You know, we don't have those facilities to work. You know, you got to work in your backyard, and it might be dirt, it might be rocks. Yeah. You know, but the thing is, like, you want to get out of there. You want to grow. You know, you want to help your family. You want to help your mom to buy a house. You want to help your brother to go to school if he doesn't play baseball. A lot of pressure behind it, you know. And it's different, you know, because you got to be tough. You got to be tough to be able to do that, you know. And then you start seeing all those kids around you. They're like, it doesn't matter what happened. They're going to go out there that day. Every single day, you know, like without any excuses.
Yeah.
You know.
And talk about a motivation. I mean, you don't need to be motivated. That's going to motivate you, just knowing that you got to take care of your family. You know.
Yes.
You had Tatis Jr. for a few years in the minors. You know, it's interesting to find out from a hitting standpoint, the great hitters, you know, and obviously he's going to be a great hitter for a long time. What's special about them? Is it their high skill vision? What is it? What makes the difference between that really best hitter?
This kid, man, this is one of those kids that you will say, well, I guess I'm gonna see this kid once, and then I don't know how many years. You know, that type of player that he is. I think that one of the huge thing for him, he grew up watching baseball with his dad. You know, that thing that give him a lot of options on the field. You know, like he grew up watching baseball. He grew up listening to baseball players, you know, to big leaguers. The knowledge he have on the field is unbelievable.
Wow.
You know, it's natural. It comes natural. You know, that knowledge is that confidence. I think that's why he makes him good. Confidence. The confidence he has is hard to see in anyone. It's so tough, you know.
And because as far as swings are concerned, I mean, as far as speed of the swing or the vision, most of these guys are at if you get to the major leagues, you've got pretty good vision and you got pretty good bat speed, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to survive. So the mental part must really get into that. When you say, you know, he believes he's really good, that mental part is so important. That's got to be developed when you're younger, no?
Yes, no doubt. I think that he developed that very, very young, a very young age. You know, it's no way that that's gonna come just like Doom, you know, by Magic. You know, it's very tough. He definitely delivered that when he was little. And, you know, the way he handled games is just something else, you know. It's just obviously he has having some hard times when I had him, you know. Like, he was like, he wanted to be good every single night, you know. Like, he wanted to be the best player ever every single night. But when that didn't come for him, then he was kind of down, you know. He came down a little bit, you know. He wasn't that guy like you see on TV, you know. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter what's going to happen, he's going to be the same guy every night, you know. But he had his hard, he had his tough time as well, you know, minor league. You know, he always kind of started slow the seasons, you know, minor league. You know, first month, it was kind of slow start for him. Everybody panics, you know. But and he was one of those kids that they were saying, like, they think I'm going to be suck this year. You know, he was so competitive, and he still is. You know, I don't know if you see, like, you know, oh, he might be able to play in the outfield because he won't be a shortstop. So, you know, this year he won one of the best shortstop. And then he said in Twitter, like, yeah, people say I wasn't able to do this, you know. The more you challenge him, the better he's going to get, you know. Yes.
That's interesting. You know, and we're almost we got about 2-3 more minutes here. And when I look at Tatis, I know one of the, you know, the big controversy was the bat flip. You know, I've talked about it on the show before. I think the game needs a little flair, a little pickup, you know, to extreme, not too much, but let's loosen up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but I don't think he was doing that in the minors, right? I mean, that was probably in the big leagues only, right?
Well, tell you what,
he was confident.
He kind of doesn't. Yeah, he was so confident. In the minors, every team knew, like, when they were facing us at the beginning, when we started the season, this is when he was with me. You know, he was kind of struggle. It was kind of cold. You know, Texas League got a little cold in the beginning. You know, you go to Springfield and you go to Frisco. Frisco's kind of cold too. You know, he was having a hard time with that temperature thing, you know. And then, like I say, again, that relationship. You know, I took him to Teeters. I took him to Fitch. You know, we were together fishing and all that. And, you know, I used that the whole time, maybe a few minutes to throw something about baseball. You know, just coming from out of nowhere. Boom. There you go. You know, you're going to deal with this in the big leagues. You want to play in the big leagues? Yeah, the big leagues going to be very cold. The World Series, you know that? Oh, yeah, you got it. Yeah, you're right. You know, because he was like a little sensitive, you know, believe it or not, he was a little mental, you know, he was tough, but he was a little sensitive.
Sure.
So, you know, it was a challenge for me because, you know, everybody expected him to do good, no matter what, you know, as a coach, you got a lot of pressure behind it. So he was having a lot of people saying a lot of things to him, you know, and the organization. So we make a call. And that conference call, I told him, like, hey, leave it all to me. What do you think about him? Okay, perfect. What do you think, Pete, about him? Perfect. Don't worry. I will put it all together, okay? But I will do it on my way. And they all went, like, everybody was quiet. It's like, okay, bro, go for it.
Wow.
Since that day, everything was different. He didn't feel any pressure from anyone. No one was calling him. No one was texting him. No one was asking him what was going on. Since that day, he was just a totally different kid. You know, he expressed whatever he was feeling with me to his dad, because his dad is, you know, number one hitting coach for the rest of his life. But, you know, what was funny, it was like we were talking about something that day, and then the next day he come to me and said, damn, my dad just said whatever you said to me last night. Same stuff we were talking about, he mentioned the same stuff. And I was like, yes, now we're on the right track, you know, like, and then that's when he started becoming a whole different player, you know, like, it wasn't matter if he goes 0-5 or 0-10, he knew he was going to be able to come back and do it again and hit the ball hard and have success.
All right, now, I'm going to throw you a little curveball here. Not that you know, people know on the show, we don't send questions out ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nice discussion, have some fun doing it. But you know, I'm a coach now that doesn't speak Spanish. Obviously, I need to try to learn some Spanish or key words. Mm-hmm. What's your advice to some of these coaches that now I have to work with a Latin player that one, you don't speak Spanish. Now, I'm going to throw this in. Mm-hmm. I love being around Latin players. Love it. And number one, why? They're always happy. Okay. They're always smiling.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they have energy. They're not sitting there, you know, worried. They may be worried, but they just don't show it. But as a coach, what do I do? You know, how do I, if I see something, how do I handle it? Especially if I'm the hitting coach, I don't speak a lot of Spanish.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tough. It's a great question. For me, I would say for a Latin player with an American coach, give them a hug.
Ah.
Hug them a lot. Give them some love because it's different culture.
Yeah.
You know, Americans don't do that. They, yes, we did, you know, we hug and all that, but Latins are different.
Yeah.
You know, they love when you give them your hand, you chase their hand and you give it a hug. What's up, man? How you feeling today? You know? That's how you're gonna start everything, you know. Soon that he sees that, like, oh, what's going on with this guy? You know, like they don't expect that ever.
Yeah,
you know. And we have this this guys that came to our camps to teach our coaches about our Latin culture.
Yeah,
you know, that's like important. How to deal. Yeah, I mean, exactly your question. We work on that. You know, our coaches work on that stuff. You know, because you might have like, hey, ¿cómo estás? That's all you Spanish. You know, that's all you know. But if he realizes that you feel love for him, like real love, like, yeah, you hug him and, you know, like you give him two, you hug him in the back, you know, like, hey, you get, things are going to be all right. You know, I'll give you, you know, one span in the back and it's okay. Go ahead. Go get it. You know, like, or as a coach, when you don't know any Spanish, like, hey, man, We need to figure this out, even in English, you know, like, right. And then you grab your phone. Now we got technology.
There you go.
Go to Google Translate. You know, they will appreciate that so much. Like, yeah. Man, he's good. Trying.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying. Even if you don't know any Spanish, you got your Google Translate. You know, hey, this is what I'm trying to tell you, my friend. Okay. Here, look, we're going to look at the video. I'm going to put everything on translation. And here we go. And guess what? They're going to understand everything because you know what? You're not speaking in a different language. You're speaking baseball.
Yeah, same language.
It's the same language. You know, and they play PlayStation. It's the same language that you're talking. Yeah. MLB game, it's the same language that we're talking.
And I think some coaches say sometimes less talking is better, right? So if you know the language too good, sometimes you talk too much.
Yes. You might go ahead by yourself and, hey, Give me your bat. I'm gonna show you. Look at me.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Done. You know, a lot of Latin players learn that way. Lots of them. Even that I speak Spanish.
I can see that.
Even that I speak Spanish, I grab their bat and take a look, okay? Take a look at this. Oh yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I'm talking your same language, you know.
Awesome. I love it. Know. Well, this will be great. Last minute advice, you know, like anything about when it comes to hitting with coaches that are working with players, any advice, you know, I mean, there's a lot obviously to the game of hitting, but something that, you know, you want to leave everybody with.
I mean, for a player or coach, had a work ethic, man, you know, keep your work ethic, keep the grow up, you know, like don't stop growing, you know, show your player that you care for them, you know, like the, like it, like you will do whatever it takes to make them better. You know, mm-hmm. like that's one of the biggest things that they've been working for me. It's been, you know, awesome because the feedback from the player is awesome. Even if they don't say anything, you know, he's appreciating your help, you know, like he will appreciate your help. You know, it's like, keep your discipline as a coach. You know, if you keep your discipline and your routine and what you do every day, they're going to follow you. You know, like I say, lead by example. You know, if you start eating well, healthy, they're going to see, like, why are you eating healthy? You don't play anymore.
Right.
You know, but our job now these days is to lead them because they don't know much. It's too many things going on around our players, around, you know, our sons, our daughters, around everybody, around the world. So we need to lead. If we want to be a great coaches, we need to lead. We need to be the best example for them.
Absolutely. Got to love it. What a great way to end it. Be a leader as a coach. They'll follow you. Hey, Raul, this has been awesome, man. I know hopefully the season will be kicking off soon. You know, the Padres, unbelievable acquisitions. I mean, they've added more players. And that's counting not what's the right-hander that's hurt?
Clevinger.
From Cleveland. Yeah, that's not even happening. Look what they added with the pitcher from the Cubs.
Oh, yeah, man.
And then the lefty from, you know, the Padres. I mean, the Rays. Padres are they're kicking out there. They're still going.
Yes. Yeah, we're expecting a great year, man, a fun year. You know, I think we're going to be blessed, everybody. And, you know, it's everything's going to be better this year. And we're going to have some baseball, even the major leagues and the minor league. But definitely in the major league, we're excited right now. You know, we're looking forward to be in the playoff again and compete for that ring, you know, for that World Series champion, man. That would be awesome. That would be great. I mean, we've been adding the right pieces. Hopefully they stay healthy.
Yeah, you know what? And you guys are definitely heading up there. I don't know who's going to be there, but I think you'll be in the finals. You know, the other part, the White Sox might have a little bit to say about that too. The White Sox is really, you know, they've really added. As a matter of fact, and I hate to keep you on, but wasn't Tatis?
No, you're good.
Wasn't Tatis a White Sox first?
Yes, he was. Yes.
Right. We gave him away in Chicago.
Gave him away.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that is, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy how those trades work.
Yeah. No, but listen, been a thrill. Love that you came on. Great to meet you, folks. The first time I met Raul, so, you know, we didn't meet it. We talked maybe 2-3 minutes before the show, and that was it. And we rock and roll, man. I appreciate it, Raul.
Thank you, Peter. This is awesome, man. And let me tell you something. It's a lot of people around that's listened to your programs. I've been learning a lot from your program because, you know, it's always a learning process. It's a never-stop learning process. And it's been awesome to hear all your interviews. It's great. So keep it up.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And, folks, you know, it's the guests that we have that makes the show. That's what I love about it. We hope we had some great guests. We think we've had great guests. And remember, you could always recommend, if you've got a guest, somebody that you want to see on the show, you know, send us a message, caliendo19@gmail.com. All right, Raul, I'm going to say the final words, and then we'll talk soon.
Sounds good, Peter. Thank you so much.
All right, see you, my man. And that is Raul Padron from the San Diego Padres, AA hitting coach. And I want to thank Raul. I want to thank also our producer, Brian Kroc, with the Lineup Media Group. Thank you to everybody in the U.S. and around the world for listening to the show. Don't forget, go to baseballoutsidethebox.com. Also, YouTube, Peter Caliendo. Subscribe. Love that you're with us. Don't forget, stay healthy, be safe, and God bless you. And we'll see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.